Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Lucas Panzeca is back after Joe Hunk sitting in for him yesterday. Good to have the entire crew back together. Joe did a great job yesterday. I will tell you this, Lucas. Joe has a very epic voice. Like, everything sounds so epic when he says it. So you're going to need to put a little more gravel in the voice today.
Yeah, he's got that, like, rock star DJ type of voice, right?
Or almost like you expect him to be, like, the singer of a really, really, really heavy metal band. And he's got the mohawk and everything. You guys will get to know Joe. He's new to the station, but Blaine and I are still doing our show via Zoom, so we have not physically met him. But seems like an awesome dude, and he looks like a rock star. And then he's got this cool gravelly voice. So, but Lucas is our guy. He carries us every day. We love our man, Lucas. He's going to help us monitor the situation. Cause here's what's going on. Vols are playing. Well, have they had first pitch yet? About to. Blade Tidwell on the mound today for Tennessee. This is a loser leave town match. So an important match in Omaha, Tennessee and Texas about to get going. So here's our pledge to you. If anything starts to happen, we'll cut to the game. We'll let it ride a little bit, okay? So you're not going to miss anything. Long as things are just cruising along, we're going to talk about the stuff that we always talk about or anything else that comes up. But we asked for, we got permission. Hey, man, something starts to happen at that baseball game. You boys roll on into it. So a relaxed Blaine Bishop joins the discussion. Now you switch spots in your house. You got on.
I knew you were going to say something. I want to be in front of the TV watching the game so I can give him live updates on the Tennessee game. I got to be giving you the live updates, you know, but I wanted to be looking at a nice big screen, almost like I'm sitting on the front row. That's how I want to feel. So if I'm not there, I'll feel like I'm on the front row, man. So, yeah, that's why I moved, you know, so I could have a front row seat. To the balls, hopefully taking down Texas. So we shall see, man. It's going to be an interesting one, and you never know in baseball. But man, hope they have a good day and come away with a win. A lot of people saying Texas is the better overall team in the whole, you know, World Series, and they're in the loser bracket too. So that's why I say you just never know. I mean, just look at Vandy yesterday. Light. I mean, I don't know if you could have pitched any better. I mean, he had one bad pitch where the guy, you know, he was trying to power the guy out and the guy caught up with it. And, you know, you take speed, you know, on speed. And if you connect, it could go a long way. And that's exactly what happened. But nobody else could do it. So tough loss there. I think Vandy only had a couple hits maybe. And they didn't have too much on the offense. Yeah.
Two.
But, yeah, you know, tough day. That happens sometimes. And, you know, hey, best team won. And, so, hey, that's what you got to do. Take it with a grain of salt. I don't know what you could have done differently besides, you know, get some more bats on the balls there for Vandy. But, hey, man, Leiter, he's got a lot of interesting stuff in the repertoire as far as pitching. So,
yeah,
I'd be shocked if he didn't maybe go one and Rocker go two or something like that. Man, they got to go, man, top five, both of them. There's no way. Super talented.
So Leiter goes.
The question was, did they show his dad more than they showed him?
It's amazing, too, how much he looks like his dad. I mean, you know, we all look like a parent, most of us. But, oh, my gosh, that guy looks like a clone of his dad. And, you and me are old enough to remember when his dad played.
Yes.
So his dad looked like that when he was young. But, you know, what dad's left-handed, he's right-handed. So it's interesting. But the kid was lights out. He was 8 innings pitched. He gave up 4 hits, 1 walk. He struck out 15. He threw 123 pitches in 8 innings. And Blaine, we just don't like the kid for NC State. He was lights out too. He threw 100 pitches in the game.
Right. His style was a little bit different. He was a little more on location.
Yep.
But I mean, he was really good too. And he's a lefty. So, yeah, that plays a part in it. But, yeah, man, NC State, who took down Arkansas, and I cut you off, but, hey, man, they looking like a team that we take them all. We take down all big boys. So they on a nice little run here.
The kid who hit the home run, too, I think his bat is still in the air from his bat flip. He let that thing roll after he hit it.
Yeah.
And that was a no-doubter. But imagine. That's the only run in the game. And Vandy didn't get shut out all year. I had read that in a couple of places, and I thought, did they? and I went through the whole schedule. They scored one couple times. They never got shut out until that game. Oh, never man. Got shut out.
Well, first pitch is up for Texas, or you know, batter, and he has grounded out for UT. Whoever that was. I'm giving you live updates. Just kidding. If something happens, I'll let you guys know. I just was joking.
Well, again, we got the game rolling. Lucas is watching it. Blaine literally is watching it. So here's the thing. We do the show on the Zoom feed. So for all of you who do, this is how you're doing your meetings. This is how you're doing your business. So when we start hopping on here, you know, it's like Hollywood squares on your screen. So everybody's got their square. Lucas is always standing in the same spot. The camera's not moved in the studio in months. So mostly what we see are ceiling tiles and lights, with Lucas like tiny in the corner, just as how he fits in the screen. So Blaine is always in front of this window with the shades pulled, always.
Yeah.
So today, I usually get on a couple minutes before Blaine, just because I'm always terrified something's not going to work.
Right.
So Blaine comes on, and there's nothing there but a couch. And then there's and then there's all this room behind the couch. Like, I can see windows and the sun coming through and all the stuff. No Blaine. And so Lucas is like, all right, man, you guys are up. And I see Blaine run through the room behind the couch, just in a dead run. And then he runs and sits down right as we get started. That's the fastest I've seen you move since you were hitting people.
Yeah, yeah, that might have been the fastest you'll see me move ever. That was only because I got a nice deep tissue massage today to loosen up my joint. So I'm kind of sitting here, man, kind of in a relaxed state, trying to make sure I get loose. And my hips are getting loose, man, from sitting all the time. So I'm actually sitting on the floor in front of my couch to force my lazy butt to stretch. So I'm in a position where I'm stretching while I'm talking. So I won't realize I'm stretching. So yeah, because it's just like pulling teeth and nail for me to like actually say, okay, after I get off the show, I'm gonna go stretch, or in between or commercials, I'm gonna get on my stretching machine or something. You know, I can't do it, man. My mind is running a mile a minute. I'm thinking about the show. I can't concentrate on two things.
Do we need to? Like, to get people to give you some advice or something, like yoga or whatever? Do people need to like tweet us at Blaine and Mickey and tell you how to get your glutes firing and all these things, and your back and your neck and everything?
Yeah, any recommendations on how to get my hamstrings to fire and my glutes to loosen, that'd be very beneficial to be Bizzle the Hitman. Hey, man. I got to get back on, Lisa. Yeah, the COVID time this whole year, man, I kind of went on a vacation on stretching. Don't do that. You know, I'm not, you know, just loose like Mickey. He doesn't have to stretch. He doesn't
Mickey
have
to needs make sure to stretch.
He
eat
right. He doesn't have to. He also gets no sun. But all those things are really good. You know, they're going to be helpful, except for vitamin D. So, you know, that's the only thing he's missing.
I've been taking some, though, to make up for my lack of being in the sun. I've been taking. I'm compensating for zero sunshine. I mean, if I'm going to live as a vampire, I have to have sustenance. So I'm just taking vitamin D. It's the way that works.
Awesome. So yeah, man. So that's where I'm at. So I was trying to, you know, have some fun, man. I didn't know y'all saw me running.
No, dude, that was amazing. So I thought, is the house on fire? Is like UPS at the door? Is the dog barking? Because again, we have only on the rarest occasions have we not seen each other in a tiny little square. And so it's just like, whoosh, I just see a blur, you know, and I don't know what's going on. Somebody breaking into the house. I don't know.
I'll tell you a little secret, man. I had misplaced my notebook. I didn't know where I put it. Could have got all my notes in there.
You told me the other day I left my notes. Like,
crap, where is it at? It was sitting over there at the bar in the game room here, over the fridge, right where I left it.
That tissue massage got your brain all relaxed, too.
Yeah.
That's one of those, like, doesn't feel good, right? The deep tissue thing, that's where they hurt you, right? But then you feel better later?
Yeah, it was 8 o'clock, man. An 8 o'clock appointment. So, I've been fighting not to do it, but I had to, and it was worth it. But yeah, it was one of those not so hurt, so good. But needed it, much needed, because I feel better now. I think I have clarity in my brain, so I don't have this block up there. besides my big block head. But
well, we're going to block our way through the baseball game again. It will be pulled up in the studio. Lucas will have access to it. They'll have access to it on 3HL. So if anything happens, I promise you, we will go to the game. When we come back, though,
nothing happened. Three down, three up, three down. So they out now. We're about to pitch. First pitch, Texas guy hit it to left field, deep to the track, but he's out. First pitch.
See, Blaine busting out the play-by-play chops.
Yeah, I always wanted to. People don't notice. I always wanted to be a play-by-play guy growing up. I really did. I used to practice everything. But knowing I would never have a chance to do anything like that.
Hey, honestly, the way you break down football in a way that everybody understands, you could be one of those people on TV or radio where you say, okay, this is why that was a touchdown, or this is why you would be better at that than just about anybody doing it, because you explain football better than anybody because you understand it.
Well, and not only that, though, but I got some great advice from John McClain on, you know, just making sure that you dumb it down when you're explaining things. And so the thing that I do every time that I'm talking about sports and in general, especially football, I'm always thinking, I'm imagining that I'm talking to my wife, who knows very little about football. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, and she didn't start learning football really till our son started playing football in high school. So now she knows much more, but he says always. So I put it in that frame for me. If I was trying to explain it to her, what actually happened, and that's probably how I would want somebody to explain to me about, you know, something that I don't know. Dumb it down. She. I'm gonna give her another ding dong. She does not explain things to me and dumb it down to me to this ding dong that I am, so I can understand stuff when she's up there explaining something to me. I'd be like, "What the heck? Can you like, you know, dumb it down a little bit? Like, put that in layman's term. I'm not in the healthcare industry. You use a whole bunch of terms. I have no idea what they were. You know, from medicines to the doctor term. I have no idea what the heck you're talking about." Yeah,
dude, I sold pharmaceuticals over 20 years ago. And you know me, you know, I've done a lot of different things. I had to study that so much. I still remember almost everything about it, almost everything about all the medicine, even today. But if I start talking about it, my wife's like, okay, whatever. Okay, just tell me what to take.
That's exactly what I do.
Okay, I'm at Target. Just tell me which thing to buy. Okay, stop with the explanation of which one has the most side effects and you can't poop if you take it. Just please tell me which ones to buy. That's where we go with it.
Yeah, just keep it simple. I'm a simple guy. Just tell me what to do. I'll make it happen. But before we go to break, since we're about to go to break, the last batter in Texas is two outs, hit it to the wall, and it was caught.
Oh, and so Peyton's there.
Three out, three down. So now we're going back to UT at the plate, and they just showed a picture of Peyton Manning in the crowd.
They're swinging away. They got their,
it's only fitting to have Mr. Omaha in Omaha, right? Only fitting to have Peyton there. He can just yell Omaha every time they do something. Well, if anything exciting happens, we will go to the game. But when we come back, there's a whole bunch going on in the NCAA world. And we said this yesterday, we really need a lawyer. Well, we found a lawyer. It's Dan Lust, at Sports Law Lust on Twitter. He's an instructor. He's a lawyer. He's been on everywhere. And he's going to break it all down, all this stuff going on with the decision by the Supreme Court yesterday. This is Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Happy Tuesday to you out there. Dan Lust, who is a sports attorney, teaches sports law, does a lot of media experience. He's going to jump on with us here in just a minute. We're going to talk about all this NCAA that's happening right now through the eyes of somebody who understands it from the law perspective. But first, so Blaine got beat up this morning with a deep tissue massage. We're trying to figure out how to get his glutes firing, how to get his neck and his back stretched out. He's literally sitting in front of a couch right now. So Tim in Goodlettsville, we asked, can you help the hitman? And Tim in Goodlettsville has some solutions. Okay. Last time you asked for solutions, you got, you know, take vitamin D and take this sleep stuff. So, Tim, help us out. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Well,
right?
So, before I jump in here, Mickey, let me ask you this. Did Blaine nominate me for a Ding Dong Award after I gave him that last advice?
No,
he's doing all that stuff.
That was not a ding dong reward.
Well, good. Then I'll proceed. Then I had to make sure I was covering my bases. But man, when you get these pro athletes, these guys know almost as much about their anatomy as the professor in undergrad. And he's been around a lot of PTs and trainers and this and that. So, Blaine, when I say like agonist and antagonist, that's like your quad and your hamstring. So you're comfortable with that terminology, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you strengthen the quad or when you're doing a quad exercise, it's not just that your quad's engaging, but your hamstring is having to let go. And we call that reciprocal innervation. So like when the biceps all the way on, the triceps all the way off. And so what I have guys do if they've got really tight hamstrings, which is real common, this is not just an athlete problem, this is an office worker problem, we'll strengthen the quads doing leg extensions and like slow motion front kicks, but we will not strengthen the hamstring. We'll stretch the hamstring. So we strengthen one and we lengthen the opposite. So it's real easy with the quadriceps and the hamstring because everybody knows what those are. But right inside the quadricep is a muscle called the sartorius, and that's the muscle you use when you kick a soccer ball, like the instep of your foot. So we do the leg extension stuff real light with the sartorius, but then we stretch the piriformis, and we'll have you cross your legs over your foot over your knee like you're tying your shoe, and bring your chest down to your calf muscle and hold that for like 30 seconds. And then put it down and compare to the other side. And we do the bad side with the most restricted side like four times for every one, and then go do a set with your sartorius on the leg extension. So you strengthen one and lengthen the other. You do that for a few weeks, and you'll get really, really, really balanced between those flexors and extensors.
Oh, yeah, that's great advice. And real quick, what about the psoas muscle? Does that affect that, or should I be doing anything with that? Because I got what you call deep tissue. I got what they call rolfing, and that kind of goes deeper into – it's a technique that I use when I play that really helped get really down inside. It actually gets into your nervous system.
And it works with the fascia, and fascia absolutely has a lot to do with movement and the neurology of movement. So that's great, but – the psoas muscle usually is not as effective as working the quad and sartorius, getting those hamstrings to loosen up. Do you do any acupuncture, Blaine?
Absolutely.
Okay, so on the quadricep, the quadricep's controlled by the small intestine meridian, and if you get your acupuncturist to do what's called the tonification point strengthens the tone of the quadricep, which will lengthen the hamstring.
Hey, Tim.
Good stuff, Tim, man. I appreciate Tim, that, man.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, as always. Anytime we put out the call, Tim is there to answer. Now, Dan Luss joins us, so we go from an anatomy lesson to a law lesson.
But
Dan,
real quick, though, Mickey, UT scored a run. They got somebody on second and third with one out. Yeah, so do that first. And then, yeah, now Dan Luss can educate us on all this NCAA, you know, Supreme Court judgment here. Dan, man, thanks for coming on, buddy, man. Sorry about that. You had to wait a few seconds there for a caller. But, man, you've been a busy man, Dan, man. How's it been?
It's good. And no worries, guys. I feel like I got a master class in biology. I don't know what exactly that was.
Yeah, Dan,
I feel smarter for having listened to it.
This show is like the mound visit in Bull Durham. We're solving a lot of problems here in a short amount of time. So we appreciate you.
Problems,
we appreciate
I didn't even
you joining
know I
the discussion.
Have, but I will take them.
All right, Dan Luss joins us. Tennessee actually up 2-0 now, and we will cut into the ball game later. But let's get into this. Okay, the Supreme Court yesterday waded into the NCAA's business. For people who want to know kind of what a landmark this is, it had been since, what, 1985 the last time that happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's a rarity that the Supreme Court even touches college sports, let alone we get a unanimous verdict. So, yeah, I think at an initial starting point, just the fact that the Supreme Court opted to take this case says a lot, but the fact that they dedicated 45 pages, single space, to a decision that really could have been one word, the word affirmed, which is a fancy way of saying we agree with the lower courts, but instead of one word, 45 pages, and trust me, guys, it took a couple hours to get through. So they're really trying to send, I believe, a message to politicians athletic directors, coaches, that the current framework of the NCAA is not going to exist for too long.
Well, didn't Justice Kavanaugh basically say in the NCAA is not above the law? And that sounds very ominous to me for the future of any organization when a justice would say that about you.
Especially when everyone's yelling at the antitrust, the complaints with the NCAA that, hey, how are they getting away with this, right? A normal business wouldn't be able to get away with not paying their athletes, exerting so much control over someone, yet that person is not an employee. So courts across the country have been kind of split whether the NCAA is right or the NCAA is wrong. So that's why the Supreme Court took the case, and there were questions about a looming antitrust exemption that the Supreme Court might have been asked to do by the NCAA. So it's kind of out in the open from that case back in the early 80s, that Board of Regents case. And I guess this is a fun kind of sports law footnote. That Board of Regents case is the reason that we have a booming college sports world today. That was the case that basically turned the national spotlight football game into oblivion. We just had networks all over the place giving as much football and basketball as we could possibly take. So that case back in the 80s is the last time the Supreme Court touched college sports, and it made it bloom into really a billion-dollar industry. So, you know, fast forward at the end of this decision with Judge Kavanaugh, yes, the NCAA is not above the law is a very important takeaway. But how about the fact that in the same sentence, we're getting student-athletes and workers, student-athletes and fair market value? So, you know, another 40 years ago, Brian, we might be looking back at this decision and say, hey, this was really forecasting the next generation of college sports. So, yeah, definitely, I think they're leaning very far into the spectrum of athlete empowerment. But, change is good, but I think a lot of change is on the horizon.
We're on with Dan Lust. He is at Sports Law Lust on Twitter. You need to follow him now. He's got a podcast, Conduct Detrimental. He's a professor at New York Law School. He is a sports attorney, and he is I couldn't name all the places he's been talking about this stuff. So just he's everywhere, and now he's on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, he's just trying to help our show be a lot smarter, so I appreciate Dan coming on there for his limited time, but we will only be smart for this limited time that he's on here, I guess. And I want to start with, why did the NCAA let it go all the way to this point to Supreme Court? Did they just think they were just knew they were going to win? I mean, 9-0 is, they might have made a boo-boo and made a mistake and was acting like a ding-dong.
Listen, guys, I can't take the credit for making the show smarter. Blaine, with those type of questions, I mean, the show is already out of hand. It's already there. Boo-boo and ding-dong. I mean, these are words right out of the law dictionary.
Of course.
Yeah. So here's the thing. The NCAA caused this, and they caused this by two levels, right? They were the ones that lost at the district court, and they could have taken their lumps, licked their wounds, and gone home. But they're the ones that appealed this to the Supreme Court. And they're the ones that are creating these headlines today. So, Blaine, to your question, it is a very good point. 5 years ago, the NCAA lost a very big case, the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit. Ed O'Bannon, people will remember him, UCLA, left-handed center. You know, he was once playing, he was at a family friend's house, or I guess a friend's house, and the son was playing an old version of, EA Sports March Madness. And there was a historical UCLA team in there. So Ed O'Bannon saw that. He saw his likeness in the game and sued. He said, hey, I'm a former college athlete. Why am I not getting paid for this? So Ed O'Bannon took that case up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California and won and beat the NCAA in a very high court, the second highest court in the land, said the NCAA, you have to compensate players for their name, image, and likeness. It's on you. Guys, that was 2015. Between 2015 and today, the NCAA has done nothing in terms of creating legislation and creating rules to get athletes paid. So had they acted 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, we wouldn't be here, because what happened instead is the state legislature over in California said, if the NCAA is not going to do it, we're going to do it for them. And then other states started following that lead because they saw it was passing unanimously, Democrats, Republicans, everyone wanted to do it. And that's why we stand here today. Six states across our country are about to have these name, image, and likeness laws that go into effect July 1st, maybe some federal rules. But, you know, Blaine, to your point, the NCAA caused this because they refused to do anything. And now, you know, quite literally, you have Mark Emmert basically begging Congress to bail him out of a situation that they created. Please create a federal bill because we don't know what we're doing. It's essentially what Mark Emmert said back into the Senate on June 10th. So, yeah, it's a mess of the NCAA's own making, and they really have themselves to blame for this.
Man, Dan, you just made me think of a whole bunch of other questions. I mean, does this open up litigation? I guess for more litigation, you know, does this open up Pandora's box to other litigation? Let's say come up with a plan that everybody is happy with as far as the athlete and all the universities, or what's going to be the cause and effect here, or do we even know them?
Yeah, so, you know, the truth is we don't exactly know what's going to happen, because this is obviously a little unprecedented and the NCAA is kind of playing it tongue-in-cheek. You know, the reports were for about a year and a half, the NCAA was working on name, image, and likeness. And what would that do? This, obviously, state law is going to trump the rules of the NCAA. So if you're one of those other 44 states that don't have name, image, and likeness laws, or they're not going into effect on July 1st, the NCAA would basically, they'd give you a watered-down version of what some of the states are doing. So it's a way to kind of, you know, lessen the disparity between the have and the have-nots. So the report that we got yesterday, maybe in light of the court's decision, was that, hey, you know what? Actually, we're the NCAA. We're actually not going to create name, image, and likeness. We're actually going to allow the schools to do it, and we're not going to punish the schools if they come up with these rules. So those are the reports coming out. You know, take it for what it's worth. But I think to your point, maybe that's a way of saying, hey, if we come up with rules, we might get sued because the courts are basically just telling us we're not above the law. So you know what? Let's let the schools do it, and kind of, you know, no pun intended, but punt that over to the schools. So. Yeah, I guess the, you know, overarching question is, what power does the NCAA have left? If they're not coming up with the rules, federal law is controlling, Mark Emmert's not taking accountability. So I think it's really fair to question what the NCAA looks like, you know, for the next decade. I'm not sure.
Well, with Dan Lust, sports attorney, and helping this show be a lot smarter.
So this 12-team playoff thing is happening now, Dan, and that's going to make everybody more money. Blaine and I saw one article I was sharing with him last week on the show that said up to $2 billion that this could make. And there are already people who want change and want the players to see their piece of the pie that they basically build. It's built on their backs. This is not going to help keep a lid on any of this either. Once those dollar figures start to get out, I would think that will exacerbate things. That will make things move even faster when you're talking about multiple billions of dollars being made.
Right. I made this point when we were talking about the O'Bannon lawsuit once upon a time. But, you know, the amount of money that would be made from a college sports video game is in the hundreds of millions, right? You know, you're profiting, you're using the player's name and likeness to create a video game. What's really that different about ticket sales, television rights? You're obviously using the players in some sense. It's not their name, image, and likeness, but it's their services. And you're making a profit off of it. So this, this decision, NCAA versus Alston, speaks about a very minute and very kind of small sliver of NCAA restraint. Name, image, and likeness, if we get there on a federal level, we're getting further. As of right now, there's no legal right for players to get a piece of the television deals, a piece of the gate, a piece of merchandise that the school offers. But I think we're getting there slowly but surely. And, you know, the more billions that are being poured into TV deals and college football playoff, I think those roars are going to grow louder that the athletes should be getting that. But big step in the right direction this past week. Maybe we'll say this, guys. College football and college basketball are the big money makers. They always have been. You guys talked about $2 billion in the college football playoff. But once you start putting this money into the athletes' hands, I'm just, I'm a little wary of what happens to the other sports, be it college baseball, softball, swimming, golf. Those aren't technically or historically revenue-generating sports. So, you know, I'm just a little concerned to see if the other shoe drops. Maybe it won't affect baseball, but sports a little further down the line, the rowing team, the crew team. So, you know, we'll see. I think there have to be some type of ramifications for that.
I'm a sports attorney, Dan Lust, talking all things NCAA business right now.
Well, Dan, I just, just have two more questions. And one is, you just brought up about how it affects other sports. How does or does it play into Title IX, or does that not impact it at all?
I mean, it does and it doesn't. It's kind of interesting. There's some laws in the books that basically say Title IX is not applicable to the NCAA because they're not an entity that receives federal funds. So I've heard people say it both ways. We hear people complain about Title IX a lot. I think the interesting thing to kind of look at on the horizon, especially with the looming federal name, image, and likeness bill, if that comes into effect and there's a federal bill, and it's I've talked about it before, but it would essentially kind of wipe the slate clean. All these different states couldn't get advantages. There'd be one clean federal bill. I don't know what that federal bill is going to look like. Could that federal bill potentially give some aid to the NCAA and make it susceptible or more susceptible to Title IX. It's very much possible. But I think it's still kind of up in the air. And again, maybe just the wormhole that I kind of open up about what sports, you know, might get, taken away from certain schools. If the schools are taking away, potentially more female sports over male sports, maybe that's an issue. But I think it's a little premature. I think anybody that tells you they know for sure exactly what the NCAA do, exactly what the conferences will do, take it with a grain of salt. Because, again, we've never seen anything like this on an amateur level, on a professional level. They're really overhauling the system, in a matter of weeks, something that's been built up over the past century.
One with Dan Love, sports attorney. I guess lastly for me is this the beginning and the end to the NCAA?
I think it's the beginning and the end of the NCAA as we know it. You know, an entity called the NCAA might exist 20 years from now, but during the pandemic, I think the best example, right? They were kind of punting their power over to the conferences. Hey, do you guys want to play fall football, spring football? Do you want to cancel, not cancel? That was left to the conferences. And even, this past couple of weeks, we're seeing state law take precedent over some of these schools. Now we're going to have maybe federal law take precedent. And then we have this growing version of player empowerment taking over college sports. So I don't know. I mean, all I can tell you is I watched the June 10th Senate hearings with Mark Emmert as a special, giving a special testimony. And Mark Emmert was not taking accountability. You know, he was not the captain that was steering the ship, so to speak. So I'm not really sure if Mark Emmert knows what this next generation of the NCAA will look like. I just know that as of the last 365 days, we've seen quite the overhaul, NCAA looks a little bit more like a cluster than they have ever before. So lots of disorganization, and I think some reorganization is in the works.
And Lust, wow, sports attorney.
Fantastic stuff. Absolutely. People can follow you on Twitter at Sports Law Lust. A lot of the stuff that we talked about, you've covered there in just some fantastic information. We know you're busy, Dan. Thanks. And as things develop, just know your phone will ring again and we'll have you back on.
Just throw up that bat signal. I'll be there.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, Dan, man. Take care.
Dan Lust right there at Sports Law Lust. Again, great follow, great get by the hitman going back into his past and remembering, hey, because we said we need an attorney. Boy, new one. There you go. Always good to know that guy to come on and talk about these topics. Longhorns threatening a little bit. We'll take a quick break when we come back. Maybe we can cut into the game and see what's going on with these Vols and Longhorns. It's Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone, aid some developing developments at the College World Series. Tennessee led 2-0, but Texas has struck back for 3 runs on a 3-run homer in the bottom of the second inning. Tennessee does have 2 outs. There were 2 outs when the home run was hit. Let's go live to Vol Network coverage as the Vols try to stop the bleeding here in the second.
Trip through the lineup. Ardoin sends that pitch high and foul towards right. The home run is number 74 allowed by Tennessee, and the 12th surrendered by Tidwell. Pretty good pitch, high and just outside. 2-ball, 2-strike count. Ball lifted in the air into left center field. Ranging to his left is Evan Russell. And he'll make the catch for Tennessee to end the inning. But the Longhorns take the lead. A leadoff walk.
Network, a single. And a two coverage of the College World Series. As they go to the third inning, Texas, again, had 2 on. Runners at second and third, 2 outs. And a big 3-run homer to put the Longhorns ahead of the Vols by a run. It's funny, Blaine, we've seen games where the teams haven't scored and they've already scored 5 runs in 2 innings of this game. So maybe this is going to be one of those shootouts. But Blake Tidwell came into the game 10-3. I heard John Wilkerson say he'd given up 12 home runs, but ERA 3.57. Vols had 2 starting pitchers that won double-digit games, just like Vanderbilt did. So Blake Tidwell has been a good pitcher this year. Obviously victimized by the long ball, Jack Leiter. We saw him. He gave up, 4 hits last night. One of them was a solo home run. That was the difference. So This one going to be a little bit more offensive, it looks like. Again, as things happen, as things progress, we'll continue to cut in and out of the game. They're going to do the same thing on 3HL as well. But baseball is the funniest sport. I mean, the Cardinals and the Braves played two games on Sunday. And in the first game, the Cardinals scored eight. The next one, they scored nothing. In the first one, the Braves scored what, one, I think. And the next one, they scored They won 1-0. It's just amazing how teams can change. But the Vols certainly started to look a little more swaggery in that inning. They're just going to have to use that swagger to come from behind to win from here on out today.
Yeah, you know, and baseball is such a mental sport because, you know, the Vols are up, 2-0. They earned both of the runs. The pitcher's doing well. He's throwing heat now, 94, 97, 98. And it's just like anything else, just like Leiter last night. He threw one pitch where a guy was able to catch up to him. And as fast as it comes in, if you get contact and you hit on the back right, it can be out just as fast. And, you know, just, you know, one mistake. So I think this is going to be a really, really good game. And, I just think they got some guys on base and, guy got fortunate enough to hit one, but I think it's going to be a good one. 3-2 Texas now starting in the top of the third. The balls are up now to bat. And it's going to be one for the ages. I believe it. I really do. I think because a lot of people think it's the first time the second and the third seeds lost in the first game. And now they're playing each other. So quality, naturally everybody here is quality teams, but teams that are capable of coming out of it and even winning it in the World Series, the College World Series, you know, in the loser bracket. So, yeah, man. So I'm losing a lot of conversation about which is the real UT. I think Tennessee was created before Texas. Is that true or not?
Oh, Lucas is an alum. I see him jumping to the microphone here.
The University of Tennessee existed before the state of Texas existed.
There you go. Okay.
So that should settle it right there in my mind.
Okay, let me ask you this, because here, this is another one that comes up sometimes as far as checkerboards in the end zone with Kentucky and Tennessee, because I've heard Kentucky and Tennessee fans fight about that. So, Lucas, since we're just in this clearing things up here, we're doing business in this last segment of the first hour. What have you got for checkerboards?
I mean, the Kentucky taking checkerboards thing is like your little brother seeing that, like, you're playing some video game and he's like, well, I want that game just because he has it. You know what I mean? That's more of just like a pestering, like, get out of here, Kentucky, with the checkerboards. With Texas, it's, you know, Texas is a much bigger brand than Kentucky. It's one of the biggest brands in college athletics. But there should be no debate. The University of Tennessee was an institution before the state of Texas was an institution. In fact, if it's not for Tennesseans, that would be North Mexico right now. So, to me,
All right, Mr. Volunteer.
Wow.
Well, I was waiting for that. I was waiting for that to turn into a history lesson. There we go.
Good job, man. Way to, you know, keep us abreast on history there. But one thing that I did hear, though, you said Texas is a much bigger brand and is the biggest brand. Is that true? It's over Tennessee?
Or over Kentucky, what I'm saying. I think the University of Texas Athletics, you know, dominates
Kentucky
athletics.
Well, my question is, what brand is bigger, Tennessee or Texas?
Ooh.
I would say
Tennessee because I've been around Tennessee my whole life. So, but I don't know. It could – the Longhorn Network alone – you know, has made Texas one of the biggest brands in collegiate athletics. So it's not like they've been that dominant over the years, right? Like outside of the Mac Brown years, was Texas football like a perennial power, like all the time? Like,
oh, my Lord. Yes. 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 Texas football, I mean, 60s, 70s, even into the 80s.
90s. And then when did they win it with BY?
Yeah, that's what I remember, is that Mac Brown era. But I didn't know if during the 90s, right? If Texas was kind of in that upper echelon.
Oh, no. Texas was the echelon for football for decades.
For a while.
And just when you think, okay, they're not going to figure it out, they figure it out again.
Yeah, but they're going through a slump, too, just like, you know, Tennessee.
They are.
Very similar.
So, really, I mean, there's a lot of similarity to those programs of how great their history is. And how much they're trying to fight their way back into having that level of success again. Because people expect that from Texas, and people expect that from Tennessee. So there's a lot of pride on the line with this baseball game today. I mean, I guarantee you there's some crap getting talked at, you know, at the stadium there. TD, I almost said Rosenblatt, TD Ameritrade. I would imagine, I mean, this is two schools with a lot of pride, a lot more in common than just initials and somewhat the color orange. But all right, Tennessee batting now. We will continue to keep you updated on how that goes. They got runners on first and second. We'll take a quick break. Oh, when we come back, as things develop, we'll keep you posted. We'll cut back in live if we need to on the Ball Network coverage. It's Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone.